Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That.
Dude, Forrest Whitaker. I'm going to keep racking. I'm going to keep racking on this dude. And now, I'm trying to do it.
Oh.
The power of the Black Panther will be stripped away. That's Forrest Whitaker.
Leave him alone.
I was like, you know what?
I went to South Africa for the first time, I believe in 2017. That was the first country that I went to on the continent of Africa. And I remember that long flight over the ocean. I didn't know what to expect to feel going back to the motherland, but I knew it would be special. I tried to keep expectations down as much as possible. When I fly somewhere new, the less expectations I have, the more I can enjoy the place for what it is. But little did I know that I had already carried and checked in with me many preconceptions and notions about Africa that I didn't know were a part of my luggage. And a new wave of excitement, interest, and passion about all things Black and all things Africa for Black Americans has arose in the last few years. And there are many reasons why this has happened. Some of it is trendy. Some of it is sincere. But whatever it is, what lies underneath all of that is a group of people who strongly desire to feel some connection to people that came long before them. And with our troubled history, it can be very difficult to do that. And so our interest in Africa, however misplaced or correct it may be, has some room for grace. And so South Africa being the first place that I went to on the continent, and now the most traveled place I've been to outside of this continent, my perspective of Africa has evolved so much and taken on so many different nuances. And the one thing I think that is most pronounced about what I know now about Africa, having been to several different countries there, I'm not an expert by any means, just going off of my own experience of being to the continent now 7 times. Black Americans are very different from Africans. We're very different. When I go to Africa, I feel much more American than anything. But at the same time, we are so much alike, and it's beautiful, and it's beautiful, and sometimes even a bit discouraging to see how much we have in common after being separated for so many generations and so many miles of ocean. There are over 50 countries in Africa, and so there's no way that any one of them can be just like the other. But even considering that, they still have a lot in common with each other. And Black Americans and Blacks across the globe still have so much in common with them. And I say beautiful and discouraging because, yeah, the struggle, though it has taken on different versions and faces across the globe, the struggle of Africans, people of dark skin across the history of humanity has been very troubled. But the beauty is to see just how similar our stories of victory are, our ongoing stories of struggle and victory.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Flights and Feelings Airlines Flight 1 with nonstop service from Chicago to Atlanta. My name is Joseph. I will be your flight attendant, assisted by our Atlanta-based cabin crew. We ask that you please fasten your seatbelts and secure all baggage underneath your seats or in your overhead compartments. We also ask that you lower your seats.
What's going on, family? My name is Joseph Solomon. I am a singer, songwriter, poet, spoken word artist, YouTuber, lifelong student, ever doubtful Christian, frequent flyer, quarantined. Welcome to the seventh flight of the Flights and Feelings podcast, season one, where we thoughtfully and vulnerably travel through faith, relationships, sexuality, science, health, and culture via storytelling, poetry, and conversation. If you have already joined the Flights and Feelings Sky Club on Patreon, then you have already heard the unedited version of this podcast. Yes, I finally started a Patreon, and that is where you can get extra, exclusive, and early content. That's early podcasts, longer podcasts, also acoustic song covers, like the audio files for the things that y'all have been listening to on Instagram and YouTube, vlogs, devotional videos, just deeper interaction. I'm able to actually answer DMs on there as well. So we'd love for you to become a Flights and Feelings Sky Club member at patreon.com/whatisjoedoing. Okay, so normally around this time I give a flight tip. You know, I travel a lot, so I try to share some of the wisdom I've picked up along the way as I've been traveling. It feels a little odd to be giving out flight tips right now, I'll be honest, because we don't know the next time we'll be flying anytime soon. I don't know if y'all are going to remember this stuff later on. It just feels odd. There have been reports from airlines and TSA that in the United States, there has been a 96% drop in the amount of travelers that they are seeing. That's great. I don't know who the other 4% is, but it better be essential, like essential. I don't really have a flight tip right now, I'm gonna be honest with y'all. And usually I'm sort of inspired. My flight tips are sort of inspired by me traveling and thinking of things as I'm on the road. I have not been on a flight in over a month now, a month and a half. So my travel obviously is cut down on the next time I'm going to travel. But I don't know. Maybe we'll pause that until it seems more apropos. The tip that I will have, though, is a quarantine tip. Maybe I can give some quarantine tips. And the one I have today is for y'all who doing this little Voicy or Voicy, whatever that app is that people are putting on Instagram and got the T-Pain harmonies over the 1999 R&B beats. Stop it. I'm still here. Just want y'all to sit in that awkward silence for a moment. Listen. I know you think it sounds good, Quarantina Turner, but that ain't it, dog. It's not it. That's my tip for today. So for this particular topic, it is, man, such a great opportunity to be able to have someone from one of my favorite places in the world, which is South Africa, Tuso Mbedu. She is a International Emmy Award nominee, and it's such an honor that I was even able to get her on. If you're American, maybe, or maybe you haven't heard of her, but maybe you will very soon. But if you are from South Africa or even another country in Africa, it is very likely that you may have heard of her. And she's been in Atlanta for a little while now. She just went back to South Africa because of coronavirus situations. It was just best for her to go back to her home country as quickly as she could. But I was able to get this podcast recorded with her before she took flight. And in this podcast, we talk about depression, go figure. We talk about the infatuation of Black Americans with Africa. We talk about Black Panther and what it meant to Black Americans and what it meant to Africans. And just in general, I think this is a nice nod to the country of South Africa. This podcast has done very well out there. It has hit number one overall on a couple of different occasions on Apple Podcasts. And I know that outside of America, one of my largest, if not the largest audience I have is in South Africa. And so I would love in some way if this podcast could be doing that, is somehow bridging the gap between my South African audience and my Native American audience. When I say Native, not Native American, like the people who were here long before everybody else. But you know what I mean? Those who are natively from, who are born here. Black Americans, my Black American audience and white American audience, Asian American audience, my American audience in general, I would love for y'all to see this as a bridge and just a great conversation about the nuances of the cultures that we share and differ in.
No, go. Keep going. Go ahead, be prideful, because all South Africans are like super prideful. Yes, about. So go ahead, flex about Zulu. That's where you really be claiming.
Yeah, definitely. Like that's what I'm because my father's Sotho, I'm supposed to identify with the Sotho side of the family. Well, but I grew up with my Zulu family, and so I claim King Shaka Zulu as my, you know, ancestor. I am proudly Zulu. We are the most recognized tribe. Out of all the tribes in South Africa.
You see remnants of it in popular American culture.
Yeah.
Like we, African Americans want to be African so bad. And we talked about this one time, how sometimes Africans look at African Americans, Black Americans, and they're like, what are y'all doing? Like that's not it. It doesn't just come from all over Africa or whatever, like, that accent you're trying to do, or even like whatever history. So one of those ways is like, you know, I know the name Shaka from Shaka Khan.
Okay.
And Zulu is like, I remember like Afrika Mbata and the Zulu Nation. Like, I don't know much about them, but that was like the first time I ever heard of Zulu. And then you hear about the Zulu warrior.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what y'all are most known for is like being like the tribes, like the warrior.
The warriors. Yeah, because King Shaka tried to take over most of South Africa. And that's when you had some of the Zulu people then run from him into different parts of Africa. Mm. Yeah. He tried, you know, and we commend him for that.
He tried it.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting that, you know, going back to that point of like Black Americans, we want, because we feel so disconnected from Africa, we reach and grab for whatever we can.
Yeah.
And we come up with stuff that's not all that accurate.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like we start pulling from all different countries in Africa. And we just sort of claim it all as part of our
one country.
Yeah. Yeah. Africa's a country.
But you know what?
Right?
With that, I think having been here, I sympathize or empathize with you guys to some extent, because as Africans, we can judge you guys so harshly about for that. And that's because of our lack of understanding of what it actually means to you guys here. And having spent more and more time with people this side, it's like, it makes me sad that that's the reality.
How do Americans feel about you here? Like, cause let's get into like the awkward stuff of like, because even hearing you speak right now, like you're not the quote unquote, whatever that is, typical African, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't have that typical quote unquote.
Lord have mercy. The accent, the African accent.
The African accent.
That doesn't exist.
Especially as an actor, because as an actor, they want you like, yo, put on like.
The African accent. I'm like, what do you mean? I am African. This is how I sound. It's the weirdest thing. Like the first time I was in the States in 2012, when people would ask me where I'm from, they would assume that I'm from the UK. And then when I'd say I'm South African, they'd always have this confused look as to, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. And for me, that didn't make sense, because then what is Africa to you if I can be speaking to you in English that makes sense? And it, like, something in their brains could not connect the fact that someone from Africa, a black African, could be fluent in English and could represent themselves in whatever manner. It was weird.
Yeah, I don't think...
I don't know.
There's a lot of people who have this sort of notion. Well, let me put it this way. There's a lot of people who don't understand just how much of Africa speaks English. Yeah. Like as a...
Yeah.
As a first or second
language, yeah,
you know, or French or whatever it, you know, their colonizer was. That's always the question among Africans. Yeah. It's like, so who colonized you?
Yeah,
that's the question I learned. You were colonized. Okay, yeah,
by the French, the Portuguese. Yeah,
man, there it's, and now the new colonizer, I feel like, in Africa is the Chinese.
Chinese. I'm not too in tune with what's happening like politically, but I think they've gotten their claws in South Africa. I feel like we've been bought by the Chinese.
Yeah. Because
our president had some deals with them. Not sure.
Even South Africa.
Yeah.
Because I noticed it more when I was in like Malawi and Zambia, especially. Like, and Kenya. And
okay,
in Kenya,
you
like see the sign, like they're building all these highways and stuff, and there's like, Chinese signs everywhere. Like you pull up to the Zambian airport, it feels like
for real.
Yeah, it feels weird. It's like there's no English, like barely any English on the outside of it. First, you just see.
Yeah.
So I guess I didn't really notice it as much.
I think it's only South happened Africa. In like the last 2-3 years though, because I know economically we were in financial trouble, and I think we got a bailout from China, which a debt that we probably won't ever be able to pay back. So. You know what that means, you know.
Yeah. it's a different kind of colonization in the 21st century. It's not by war.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or pillaging and rape and all that. It's like, oh, you need some money?
Yep.
Just like, and you know, the borrower becomes the slave.
Yep.
The Bible literally calls it that. The borrower is the slave and the lender is the slave master. It's like, so what we have is a new version of
that,
masters and slaves in Africa. So kind of doubling back on the thing we were talking about earlier, you're an actor.
Yes.
What are you known for acting in for all the people who, South African actors are like, why are you even asking her this? You better do your research. But you're a pretty big deal. In South Africa. Don't try to get the humble.
No. It's not even like that. No.
What is it like then?
I don't see myself as that.
Okay,
I don't.
That's good, man. Lord, keep her humble. Keep her humble, Lord.
Yeah, because like I've only done a handful of things. I'm very picky about what I do. Like I will not take anything and everything. I'd rather be without a job than settle for something that I feel like doesn't speak to my purpose or whatever. Like my very first job was in 2014. It was a show called Saints and Sinners. I went on to do a soapy called Scandal on ETV. Then small appearances here and there on Isbaya, whatever. The other one isn't worth mentioning. And then the one that...
What?
It's the slip of the tongue. Yeah. You know, these things happen. You know, it really isn't worth mentioning. And then just the one that I'm most known for is a show called Isthunzi. That's the one that happened And it happened in a time where I was just like, okay, God, I need you to come all the way through or take my life. You know, I'm okay. If you're not going to come through, take my life. I've had enough.
That's how bad you wanted it.
Not how I wanted it. I was just in a place in my life where I hadn't worked for about 6 months. So I was just like, God, I'm following you. I'm here because I believe you said I need to be here. And I've got no desire to do anything else. So if I'm not living out my purpose, then what's the point of me still being alive?
Ooh.
Yeah. What was that?
You felt like that?
Yeah, I did. I did.
She prayed that. That's that Elijah prayer. He was like, Lord, I'm finna go take this nap. And then
don't wake me up.
Yeah, don't wake me up. Don't wake me up when it's all. That's how she was on. So like you literally felt that way? Like, is that like a thing of like, was that like a emotional slump for you in that time, that 6 month period, or?
It was. I think it's the darkest place that I've been in my entire life. And it's the reason why I have the tattoo that I have here on my collarbone. I got that after I got out of that slump. And
what does your tattoo say?
Faith, hope, love. Without faith, without hope, without love of God, love for God, love of my sister, I probably would have taken my life type situation. But I didn't have it in me. I needed God to take my life.
Wow.
Type situation.
Wow. That literally is Elijah. I felt like that way before too. That I was like, Lord, I don't want to commit suicide, but if I got in a really, really bad, quick car accident, that's how I felt. I was like, you know what? I wouldn't even be mad. Like, this would be a good time to exit. Wow.
Yeah.
That's deep.
And it happened because it was in 2016. And at the beginning of the year, I go to like church where we do like fasting and prayer. And God had shown me so many things in that time in January 2016. And I was excited for the year. And, you know, and his final word for me was just trust me. Okay, cool. God, I'm going to trust you, you know. And then, you know, he'd spoken some things and he had confirmed things where it's literally like a case of, okay, in this week, this television show is going to approach you with a job. Decline it. And like the next day, I got a call from that television show and I had to decline it because, you know, God, you know, stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, God, I'm taking you at your word. And then 2016, he had marked as a great year for my career. And then, so I was excited. He'd shown me visions. Hey, let's do this. You know, he said you would change the standard of the industry, so the South African industry. Excited. The year starts and I am chilling at home. Without a job for about
change
6 months
from home.
Like, what is going on? You know, it was hard. It was really, really tough. At some point, I was like addicted to flu medicine because it would make me like hallucinate and be high. And I was in a bad, bad place. And then July was my birthday. And I remember.
Oh, pause there.
Oh, yeah.
So I went and stalked Tuso. So Tuso followed me on Instagram. And, I followed you first, actually. But you tweeted about, or you posted about me.
I storied about you.
Yeah, yes. You storied about me. And I was like, I don't know who this person. I was in South Africa, ironically, when you posted that. And so I started following you. And then, long story short, I found out we have the same birthday.
Yeah, you have a great birthday.
I do. Really, and so do you. It's a really good day.
It's a good
for the
day
world.
To be, yeah.
For the entire world.
It really
world.
Is.
Yeah.
It really is.
All right, back to your story. Sorry.
Something that I'd noted in the past is that, like, on my birthday, God always gifts me with something, you know. So, but it always happens like every third year type situation. But here I was going to turn 25 and I was just like in a bad way. And I was just like, God, it's almost my birthday. How are you going to do me like this? Like, what's up? You know, like, if you're not going to come through, take me on my birthday, you know, like for real, you know. But then, it so happened that I was called in for an audition and I really liked the character. I was the only one called in for that particular role, which was a lead role. And then the others were auditioning for other roles. And I went in, I was like, you know what? I'm going to give it my all. This is the last energy I have. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to, you know, just go full in audition like it's my last audition. I went for the audition, great. And I was like, okay, phew, I left it all on the table. And then I got a call from my agent and like, okay, there's a callback. And then I saw that on the callback, it was me and someone else. And I was like, Lord Jesus, did I do that badly that they want to bring someone else? And that Sunday, I remember I was like, okay, I'm preparing for the callback. I'm preparing for the callback. And then I stopped and I was like, no, actually, God, I don't have the strength to do this. I'm not going in for that callback. I'm tired. I am finished. And I didn't tell my agent this. And yeah, I wasn't going to go for the callback. But later that Sunday night, my agent calls me and she's like, don't worry about the callback. You got the role.
Hey.
I was like, okay. You know, glory to God. It was exciting. And I think pre-production started on my birthday or the day before or something, but it was around my birthday. So that for me was my gift from God, you know. And the show was on a time slot that nobody watched. I remember when I asked, okay, what time slot is it? And it was like Monday, 7 p.m. I'm like, who watches that on Monday? But the show did so well that it flipped. And now the time slot is one of the most sought after time slots.
Really? You know, that used to be like the, we used to call that prime time television in the States. Monday, 7 p.m. is like the best like time that you could.
But on the channel, because the channel was still coming up, Zanzi Magic, nobody watched TV. Nobody watched that channel because they had other things to watch.
Yeah.
You know, so it was just like, okay, well, this is sabotage.
So that show flipped it. The sort of sought after.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and that's she's not and now everybody's she's trying to be on that time.
She's not a big deal. Trust me, y'all.
Yeah, so it was great. And then, you know, just what I appreciate about the show was that with the talent that we had, the cast that we had, a lot of people, the audience then started saying, oh my gosh, we actually have actors that can act in this country. And so now the audience started putting a demand on the hiring of people that can actually act. Because our industry hires a lot of socialites. It's people casting because you have X amount of followers and not because you have the talent. So it shifted that a little bit, which I really, really appreciated.
Yeah.
And I guess that then fulfilled God's word of, you will change the standard of the industry, you know. And then from that show, I got my two nominations for the International Emmys, which was amazing as well. I was able to come to New York. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience meeting people.
And no big deal. Yeah. No big deal.
God had spoken it, so, yeah, you know.
It is what it is. Here in the States, Black Panther was a huge deal. I think they're working on another one. From a perspective of someone like myself who has been to at least South Africa, which had a lot to do with the influence on Black Panther. Black, the chosen language for...
It's Xhosa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, and of course, the cultures that they're pulling from are kind of all over the continent.
Yeah.
I can pick up on African accents pretty well. The ones I'm most familiar with are obviously the ones that are within South Africa, Kenya, and Nigeria. And I have a lot of Nigerian friends, so I can pick up on that accent pretty well. The other ones I'm still trying to get familiar with. I can kind of hear it, kind of not. I'm getting familiar with it. But when I watch Black Panther, it's like I can tell when somebody's doing a trash African accent, whatever country they're supposed to be from.
Yeah.
I don't know what... Forrest Whitaker. I don't know what country you're supposed to be from.
The accent thing is really tricky, though. Because, again, just like having worked with my dialect coaches, there isn't a thing called the standard American accent, which is something that we're required to learn when we're doing accents in America. However, the dialect coach will tell you that there's no such thing. So you kind of just pick an accent and then you try and make it as neutral as possible. Okay. So again, now coming with the African accent, cool, there's no such thing.
Yeah.
Because one, just taking South Africa for an example, we have 11 official languages.
Right.
12 with sign, but obviously there's no sound there. With the different cultural groups, every every group speaks English a little bit differently. So from South Africa, I can tell what cultural group you're from when you speak English, because there's a hint of your vernacular language and the accent. Mm-hmm. So now that's just South Africa alone. So now I imagine the whole continent, right. And that. It's weird, but my dialect coach that I worked with at the beginning of Underground Railroad was also a dialect for Black Panther. And so I understood the sounds, because when she would compare how I'm speaking to how she's speaking, she would then say, because this is how you say it in Africa. And I'd be like, that's not how we say it.
Excuse me, African girl speaking.
In her natural accent. Yeah, but I was like, okay, I understand why Black Panther sounded the way it did. What I would have appreciated was just them deciding on one accent and sticking to that, because they're saying that they're from the same land. Right. We'll believe whatever you sell us. Just decide on, let's sound the same, because obviously Lupita is from Kenya. Denai, I think her roots are in Zimbabwe, you know. But then Nakia, I can't remember Nakia's backstory, which is Lupita's character. Has she left Wakanda and come back, you know, because then that also then influences the accent. Yeah. But if she's always been there, then they can't then also sound different to Chadwick, who is the prince of Wakanda. We all need to sound as much of the same as possible.
Yeah.
Because that's you guys, the people who are making the story, set the rules of the game. And we as the audience are more than willing to play the game as long as the rules make sense.
And this is something you told me, though. This would trip me out, and mm-hmm. that frustrated me. I didn't know this was true. Yeah. Tell the people about all these extras and them supposedly supposed to be, because they're supposed to be speaking, I'm going to try it again, closer. They're supposed to be speaking that.
I think that was, not even Africa, South Africa. That was one of our biggest frustrations, because obviously we were there, oh, you know, Xhosa, you know. But then you would have the actors start a sentence in Xhosa, but then speak gibberish for the rest of it.
Y'all and
it
heard just, that?
Yeah.
Did it was, y'all it was hear
hard. Yeah.
People go it back was... and listen to Black Panther. They are not saying anything. They are speaking in fake tongues.
No, don't stop that.
They're just making up tongues.
But, you know,
they're just making up stuff.
I hate you.
Oh my gosh. I'm not going to put his name out there because I'm not going to embarrass him. Yo. Talk about America. I hope he doesn't listen to this. He might. I have to tell the story because I have a South African with me, so you can laugh with me. I don't know if I told you this story. I had a friend of mine who came with me to South Africa, right? And he's never been to Africa before in general, never been to the continent. And he's just excited about Africa. Yeah, he just hadn't had a lot of experience with. Anyways, we get on our plane. It's a 15-hour flight.
Yeah.
Nonstop from Atlanta to Joburg. And we get to Joburg. We have a rest day in Joburg for about a. And so we got in that night, rest for a day. And then the next day, I think I had a show or something like that in Joburg. And then right after that, we fly to Cape Town. Have a show in Cape Town, do a show in Cape Town that night. He stays in Cape Town. I fly from Cape Town to Durban to do a show while he stays in Cape Town, hang out with some Cape Town friends. All right. Timeline. We're three or four or 5 days into this trip now. I come back from Durban. So the next day we have 2 days chilling in Cape Town. Cape Town's beautiful, by the way, y'all. If you want a nice anniversary, honeymoon, something trip that's different, go to freaking Cape Town, yo. Go to just South Africa in general. Bounce around. It's beautiful. Get back to Cape Town. We get on one of the little touristy buses with like the little red bus that goes around the city, telling the history of the Cape Town or whatever. And I was looking at a map and I was just like, man, isn't it crazy that we're like on the tip of the continent right now? Like we're literally, there's the water right there. We're on the edge of the continent, and Brazil's not that far away. This is weird to me. And I don't know what I said. This is the part that falls off for me in my memory. I don't know what I said that triggered this question from him, but whatever I said after that, it made him ask, wait, South Africa's a country?
What do you mean? What do you mean? Wait.
Where have we been?
Yeah, what do you mean?
For the past 5 days, bro.
Wait. I want to understand.
This man said, wait, South Africa's a country? I said, and we're on the bus and we're traveling.
Versus?
To, well, one of my friends is from the Congo.
Oh, did he think it was a state?
No.
What? I don't know.
He just thought it was Africa.
No. Stop it.
He just thought it was literally South Africa.
The south of Africa.
It's what he thought. I said, bro, where do you think we flew into? We went through customs. You had to show your passport. You got it stamped. Who do you think stamped it? I don't know. Africa?
It happens.
My thing is this, yo. Like, we still don't have... I think the reason why we have so many misconceptions about Africa, and we're going to have it for a while, because all we know... That's the grace you can give to listeners that are American, that all we know... If I can afford a flight to Africa, all I can get is media. Like, that really... Yeah. That's what's inundated to me, what's poured on me.
Yeah.
That's all I'll know. And so... I can, and same for y'all, like what we see in American culture on TV, that's all you'll know until you get there.
Yeah.
And so the tricky part is this, though, is that we still have extreme views of Africa.
Yeah.
And we don't see just regular, like everything, like all that is just truly Africa. So on one side you have, you know, the poor black child with a stomach out in a village with dirty feet and he's hungry and whatever. That's like the super stereotypical extreme of Africa. Yeah. And that exists in Africa.
It does.
So I'm not saying that's not real Africa. That is part of real Africa. And then, or, you know, you have like the shaman wise dude who always has something, like he says it in his dialect, in his African accent, quote unquote, and it just sounds smart because he just sounds full of wisdom.
And he could levitate.
Like, yeah, and he could levitate. Yeah, levitate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He's mysterious and all that, like that. And then you just jump over all of normal everyday life and you get to Black Panther. And now we're like, that's what the Africa we want to see. Like, yeah, man, I'm from Wakanda, flying spaceships and stuff. And I was like, that's not Africa. That's not.
Yeah.
We skipped over all the sort of everydayness of African government, African education.
Yeah.
You know, the African that goes to university and comes back home, hates their job. Right. You know, same sort of similar problems that everybody in the States have, you know, like these. And we start to see just how different we are, but we also start to, especially when I go there, I start to realize, like, oh, y'all, we got the same stuff going on, still dealing with racism, still dealing with, you know, colorism, still dealing.
That's a topic nobody wants to talk about. But hey,
all of that stuff is like a, you know. All the things that are happening in Africa, particularly, again, my reference is South Africa. I don't want to clump it, but just my personal experience has been mostly with South Africa. You start to see just how alike we all are. I will say this, though. I'll end on this note, or I don't say end on this note. One thing I will say is that as beautiful as the places are that I've been in South Africa and the things that I've experienced and all the wonderful nuances and differences that I've seen and smelled and tasted and felt and heard and all those things, I do not like y'all's ketchup.
Oh my
I hate
gosh.
It. I hate
it's it. Tomato sauce.
I hate exactly.
And
exactly.
It's not great.
Ketchup. Oh my God, it's terrible.
It's great.
It's the worst. I don't know what it
it's
is. You're right. It's tomato
great.
Sauce.
It's that tomato sauce and it's tomato great. Sauce.
The fact that you're calling that. I didn't even know people said that. There's a phrase over here that we've always said tomato, tomato, but nobody actually says tomato. So the
tomato
phrase
sauce.
is almost useless because nobody actually says that.
It's
but here
tomato
you are
sauce
saying
and
tomato
it's great.
Sauce.
Yeah,
it's the word. If Americans, I will say all the tips I've given you about Africa. One thing I would say, if you go,
bring your own ketchup.
Bring your own from Chick-fil-A, the little ones that had the little peel back joint, or you can squeeze. You have the two options. Bring them joints because they ain't got none of that over there.
Oh my
ain't
goodness.
No Heinz because ain't even oh no ketchup. Goodness. It's tomato sauce.
It's tomato sauce and it's great. Real tomatoes.
Well, that wraps it up for episode 7 of the Flights and Feelings podcast season 1. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. I really enjoyed this conversation with my friend Tuso. Man, much grace to her as she's embarking on a new stage in her career. Hopefully things will kind of get back to a little bit of normal and sometime for her to make it back to the States after all this, you know. Y'all know what's going on. With everything that's, I saw a meme today that said people in Georgia, I guess it could be anybody really. It was like people in Georgia don't call it coronavirus or COVID-19. They call it everything that's going on. Man, how you holding up with, you know, everything that's going on? We just tired of saying it sometimes. Almost like Voldemort, I guess. It's like just the name that should not be. I'm tired of saying COVID-19, man. Trying to stay abreast of what's happening and, you know, in the know. And at the same time, trying not to bombard myself. I have been taking in news one drop at a time. And I think that's wise. I think we all have to find our balance between staying in the know what's happening, because this is going to affect everyone, including you, including your families, in some way, fashion or another, right? And so we need to stay aware, but not so much to the point that we're just overwhelmed and underwater. So that's my admonition to y'all. If you've not heard that from someone already, it's just, y'all, be mindful of all the content that you're consuming in this time. Listen, I love y'all. Listen, I love y'all. Once again, I would love it if you were to support this effort, this artistic effort on podcast and YouTube by joining the Flights and Feelings Sky Club on Patreon. That's patreon.com/whatisjoedoing. And you'll be able to find the unedited version of this podcast along with other extra content. Man, y'all could be going anywhere in the world. Well, you know, this man, I couldn't even, this was going to be a really great outro for this podcast. And then coronavirus hits and we lock down. I can't even say you can be going anywhere in the world. I'm going to keep saying it though. You could be going anywhere in the world with anybody else, but you're right here. So thanks for tuning in to the Flights and Feelings podcast. Remember to always fly home.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Atlanta, where the local time is 10:46 a.m. For your safety and the safety of those around you, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened and keep the aisles clear until we are parked at the gate. The captain will turn off the fastened seatbelt.
All right, last thing I want to ask you. I need to hear your best American accent.
No.
Why?
That's not going to work.
Why?
Because I'm consciously working on it. I'm very hard on myself about it. So I can't do it on demand.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I'll do my African accent on demand.
Oh,
then.
My goodness. Here oh, my gosh. Oof.
And now, the power of the black.
I hate you. I hate you. With every part of me right now. I hate
we'll be
you.
Scraped away.
You're horrible.
I hated him in that movie.
Leave him alone.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.